Then the quiet internal voice added, "But why doesn't it move?" Bill Dawe let himself inch forward slightly. There was no response from the hunched thing. Then it dawned on him that the thing on the other side of the hedge was only a robed assemblage of rigs and femurs and vertebrae, if viewed from one point of view, but if looked at slightly differently, was equally just a complexity of sparging arms and reciprocating levers that had been covered by a tarpaulin, which was now blowing off. The combination harvester was in front of him. Bill Dawe grinned horribly. Un-Bill Dawe thoughts rose up in his mind. He stepped forward. The wall of trolleys surrounded the wizards. The last flare from a staff melted a hole, which was instantly filled up by more trolleys. Ridcully turned to his fellow wizards. They were red in the face, their robes were torn, and several over-enthusiastic shots had resulted in singed beards and burnt hats. "Hasn't anyone got any more spells on them?" he said. They thought feverishly.
"I think I can remember one," said the bursar, hesitantly.
"Go on, man. Anything's worth trying at a time like this." The bursar stretched out a hand. He shut his eyes. He muttered a few syllables under his breath. There was a brief flicker of octarine light and... "Oh," said the Arch-Chancellor. "And that's all of it?"
"Erinya's surprising bouquet," said the bursar, bright-eyed and twitching. "I don't know why, but it's one I've always been able to do. Just a knack, I suppose."
Ridcully eyed the huge bunch of flowers now gripped in the bursar's fist. "But not, I venture to point out, entirely useful at this time," he added. The bursar looked at the approaching walls, and his smile faded.
"I suppose not," he said.
"Anyone else got any ideas?" said Ridcully. There was no reply.
"Nice roses, though," said the Dean.
"That was quick,"
said Miss Flitworth, when Bill Dawe arrived at the pile of stooks dragging a tarpaulin behind him.
"Yes, wasn't it?" he mumbled noncommittally, as she helped him drag it over the stack and weigh it down with stones.
The wind caught at it and tried to drag it out of his hands. It might as well have tried to blow a mountain over. Rain swept over the fields among shreds of mist that shimmered with blue electric energies.
"Never known a night like it," Miss Flitworth said.
There was another crack of thunder. Sheet lightning fluttered around the horizon. Miss Flitworth clutched Bill Dawe's arm.
"Isn't that a figure on the hill?" she said. "Thought I saw a shape."
"No, it's merely a mechanical contrivance." There was another flash.
"On a horse?" said Miss Flitworth.
A third sheet seared across the sky, and this time there was no doubt about it. There was a mounted figure on the nearest hilltop, hooded, holding a scythe as proudly as a lance.
"Posing." Bill Dawe turned towards Miss Flitworth. "Posing. I never did anything like that. Why do anything like that? What purpose does it serve?"
He opened his palm. The gold timer appeared.
"How much longer have you got?"
"Perhaps an hour. Perhaps minutes."
"Come on, then."
Bill Dawe remained where he was, looking at the timer.
"I said, come on."
"It won't work. I was wrong to think it would. But it won't. There are some things that you cannot escape. You cannot live forever."
"Why not?"
Bill Dawe looked shocked.
"What do you mean?"
"Why can't you live forever?"
"I don't know. Cosmic wisdom?"
"What does cosmic wisdom know about it? Now will you come on?"
The figure on the hill hadn't moved. The rain had turned the dust into a fine mud. They slithered down the slope and hurried across the yard and into the house.
"I should have prepared more. I had plans."
"But there was the harvest."
"Yes."
"Is there any way we can barricade the doors or something?"
"Do you know what you're saying?"
"Well, think of something. Didn't anything ever work against you?"
"No,"
said Bill Dawe with a tiny touch of pride. Miss Flitworth peered out of the window and then flung herself dramatically against the wall on the side of it.
"He's gone."
"It," said Bill Dawe, "it won't be a he yet."
"It's gone. It could be anywhere."
"It can come through the wall."
She darted forward and then glared at him.
"Very well. Fetch the child. I think we should leave here."
A thought struck him. He brightened up a little bit.
"We do have some time. What is the hour?"
"I don't know. You go round stopping the clocks the whole time."
"But it is not yet midnight,"